The following recording is copyright 2011, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
You and I are closer to some people than we are to others. We have acquaintances, friends, and loved ones. We share some things with everybody. We share more personal things with our friends. But we reserve the most intimate moments for those who know us the best and are in the best position to understand when something unexpected or troubling happens in our lives. Jesus was closer to some of his followers than to others. He had many disciples, 12 apostles, and an inner circle of three best friends, Peter, James, and his beloved disciple, John. He shared some things with all of his followers and more personal things with his apostles, for instance, the Last Supper. But he reserved the most intimate moments for his inner circle of friends. Jesus shared with these three closest friends his most glorious moments, like the Transfiguration in today's gospel, and his most painful moments, like his agony in the garden. These three were the ones who knew Jesus best and knew best the price he was paying personally to do his followers' will, his Father's will. These three knew more than the others who Jesus was on the inside. They knew more about his courage as well as the fears he faced, which is what will make Peter and James's abandonment of Jesus on Good Friday particularly painful. But his very best friend, John, did stay with him to the end. And notice that John was the only apostle who ended up dying later of natural causes. Why? Maybe because he had already experienced a type of martyrdom, a spiritual martyrdom, by risking his life to stay there with Jesus at the foot of his cross. Peter and James ended up dying for Christ later, finally embracing courageously the cross that they had earlier tried to flee. And for us, this is the basic and double message of the Transfiguration for us. The only road that will bring us to glory passes through Mount Calvary. That applies not only to Jesus, but also to his apostles, all of his followers, and us. And above all, those of us who are priests and seminarians. If you are not willing to embrace the cross, you are not yet following Jesus. If you go to the seminary seeking your own glory in order to gain the esteem of others and the power that comes with the sacrament of orders, you are on the wrong path, because that is not the path of Jesus. You cannot remain faithful to your promise of celibacy without embracing a cross. You cannot remain faithful to your promise of obedience without embracing a cross. You cannot protect the flock entrusted to your care without embracing a cross. As the Jews say, the rabbi who everybody likes is no rabbi. If you bear your cross with love, One day you will receive a crown, but if not, you won't. Today, Peter, James, and John see Jesus transfigured with glory, his face shining like the sun, and his clothes as white as light. Later, they will see him transfigured with pain, sweating blood during his agony in the garden, whipped, crowned with thorns on Good Friday, his body broken but not his spirit, which remained courageously resolute to do his Father's will completely, whatever it cost. And then finally on Easter Sunday, they will see him transfigured in glory once again, as on the day of his transfiguration, but with a big change. Because now he will bear in his glorified, resurrected body the wounds by which you and I were saved. And it is only then that it will all begin to make sense to the disciples. Jesus' glorious identity as the Son of God, who will save us by means of a very unglorious death, which is something that at this point in the Gospels, they are not yet ready to understand. And so as they were coming down the mountain from his transfiguration, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell anyone about this vision until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."